96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. The Foundation
with Hart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Davinia Spices, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, Mobile Garage Technologies, and Ross Electric Motors.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Listen, man, it's a beautiful day. It's hump day. I know that you're getting closer to the weekend. We always kind of have this kind of conversation. I know you want to talk a little bit more. You want to hear some of these things that are happening around here socially, but we've been on sort of a course, right? And if I had not said to you, if you had not listened in yesterday, the show in my mind, in my assessment, was absolutely dynamic. I must thank Her Royal Majesty. There's no other way that I can be able to kind of assess this, right? I must thank Her Royal Majesty, Ruby Ann Cooper-Darling, for being able to grace us with her presence and her consistency over the years with passion. Talk to me. With this sort of a passion and determination to see us find ourselves out of the muck and mire. The trial and tribulation is absolute, right? We can accept that. We understand that it exists. But our determination, this resilience that we speak of, causes us to move up and out of these things with a reminder. And she did that yesterday. She spoke about her father well, Ari Cooper, sort of her commitment. She name dropped so many persons yesterday. If you did not have an opportunity to listen to the show, please go back and check it out. You can go to guardiantalkradio.com, or you can definitely be able to check us out over at the Foundation 242 on Facebook. You can be able to see that stuff in there. Now, we're still working out some of the kinks. I got to get me some new cameras and some other stuff like that here in the studio, all right? So we got to invest in these things and trying to be able to bring this in 4D and HD, right? What was it, HD, right? We got to bring it for you live in full effect here in the studio so you can be able to really be a part of what's happening here. And so you can see it, firsthand. Now, while we're doing that, you know that I said to you that we're going to have a sort of a conversation this week about the inner city. Here's what it is. I was really consumed with the idea of Genesis over the past, I don't know, few months, especially moving up to this kind of a year of Jubilee. We call it the year of Jubilee, but, you know, I don't see any jubilation just yet. I'm waiting for it. Talk to me. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the celebration. I'm waiting for the sort of the kickoff. I'm talking about your party with two Guinness in your backyard. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this liberation that we know, even the principle that exists from a biblical standpoint. I'm talking about the chains that held us down, the bondage that continues to be able to hold us down physically, spiritually, emotionally, being loosened. That's what I'm talking about. I'm waiting to see that. I'm waiting for acknowledgement from our governments to say that there is a significant issue that we must pay attention to. Not this relentless pursuit after the tangibles. We got to build this, we got to build this, we got to build this. Almost trying to distract against the fact that there are broken people that no one putting putty on. No one dealing with it. No one putting the sort of mortar on the people to kind of pull their lives back together. We're losing people. And so I wanted to know, there was once a time when our inner cities was sort of the, whilst it was the melting pot, it was the driving force for our communities. Whilst we identified the over-the-hill community, right? The rich, affluent areas and identify those things, nothing happened or went down without contribution from over the hill. And over the hill doesn't, for me, doesn't just mean here in the city of Nassau. Over the hill means stretch far and wide throughout the country. Over the hill was Eight Mile Rock. Over the hill was Abaco. Over the hill was Miguana. This is where the people of the Bahamas live and existed. This is where the talents come from. This, in these particular areas, is where the talents that we enjoy, that we identify, that we celebrate today, this is where they were birthed. They don't like to tell you that now, but I want to go back there. Lady Ruby Ann Darling, she did a wonderful job yesterday. I really, really hope that Mother Pratt and Algernon Allen decides to be able to come back in due time and due season to kind of dive into those conversations. But today I have a special treat for you. These are two men that we know that are synonymous with the language of the over the hill. Let me tell you why. As much as Sparky, how you doing, my brother? As much as Sparky would tell us about the Valley Boys and the inception of the Valley Boys and how it happened and about the investment that it was happening, he gives you the real history of these particular areas. Every time I hear these two men sitting in the studio with me, they're giving me that sort of that fluid language of what has happened in the inner city and what needs to happen going forward. These men may not be strangers to you. I know one definitely is not, but I want to introduce both of them. Now, I've known these gentlemen over the years. We've actually been in contact and started having conversations about what needs to happen in the overseas. Let me tell you something. Activism is not a part-time job. It's not a job that you can take on when you come here on the radio to have casual conversations about what needs to happen, what doesn't need to happen, to show people that you're articulate and you're capable and you're insightful. Activism is all the time. And these gentlemen, and listen to me, I could tell you that from one of them, Richard, talk to me. He'll send me a 5-minute voice note to tell me about these particular things. So I love their heart and their passion. And I wanted to hear from them strategically and specifically exactly what's happening in the inner city. I did my part in trying to be able to reach out to a younger lady to sit in the studio with us to get a well-rounded perspective. It didn't happen the way that we want, but we know we got time to continue to be able to move forward, and we're always open to have this conversation of inclusion. And if you're out there and you have your perspective as a woman more specifically, and you want to contribute, you know the numbers. I'm going to give it out so we can do that. But first and foremost, I want to introduce you to this is my cousin now. Listen, this is my cousin. Now, I know he was my cousin, but I didn't know he was my cousin. Cousin, he tell me today, he said, oh, yeah. I said, but you was a Cartwright. I almost feel like you're supposed to be from Long Island. He said, no, that's my daddy's side. My mother is a Henfield. I said, oh my God, you're my cousin. He said, yeah. I said, oh, I didn't know that, right? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Richard Cartwright. And in the studio with me also, one of the advocates who's been speaking up and on behalf of the community, the constituency, about development. You've seen him a great deal in terms of participation and development. He has his own radio show. All these things he continues to be able to do. I thought of no other person who'd be perfect to be able to sit with me today other than Valentino Scrooge Brown. I'm so happy to have both of you gentlemen. Say good afternoon to the people out there.
Well, good afternoon, Bahamas. First, I'd like to give praise and thanks to the Almighty, because without him, there'd be no me. So I'm happy to be here with my cousin Howard and with longtime distant friend, Scrooge. I admire the work that he has been doing, speaking about and highlighting the inner city. And we need more of those type of persons so that basically not the politicians, but Bahamians at large can then be proud of who they are as a people. And I think that's where we have lost.
It's my pleasure again. Howard, I take this opportunity very highly for you to allow me to come on this radio.
I thought you wasn't coming.
I know I have to come because it's a special occasion.
I said, my God, the man said, but see, he ain't come hear me.
Never that. Never that.
Go ahead,
I was
go
downstairs with Ron 11.
Oh, my boy. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I want to drink some coffee, you know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And to everyone listening, it's a pleasure for you to tune in on Guiding Radio. And like the gentleman stated, you have to be able to contribute to the development of your community. You can't sit around waiting on politicians to move a car, to clean out an old house, to come up with some creative idea that could benefit your community. It's up to you. And again, it's a pleasure.
It's really a pleasure to have both of you gentlemen, and I can dive deep in right off the top. And how I like to take my shows, I like to go past, present, future. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important that we know the history of where we come from, that we know the position that we're in today, and then we can identify through history and our immediate position how we can move forward to a progressive future. So I want to talk about the inner city. Now, there's always been these kind of a talk about the cat and the fiddle, and you know, there's always music and sort of that culture that exists about the inner city, the entertainment aspect, that sort of a vivation and that vigor that existed in those areas. They always tell you about these things, how fellas were so sharp and how people would come down and tourists was in these areas. But beyond that, beyond the superficial aspect, beyond that kind of gyration and, you know, looking for a little sweet thing in the can during that time, tell me about the spirit that existed in those areas. Now, Richard, I can go to you first.
You're senior. He's a senior. I was going to say that. I was going to let senior,
he's a senior
go
man.
First.
He's a senior man. Richard told me, he said, listen, Howard, you see, you're talking about Hanschel, Bishop Hanschel and Bishop Rule being able to do some stuff. He said, man, we were doing that stuff at First Baptist in the Grove area from its inception. So I know that you are a senior in these areas, and I want you to tell me about the spirit that existed in these areas.
Well, Howard, one of the things that I've always told people that growing up in the inner city was that the two people that were key to the development of the inner city were the old-time politician and the religious leaders. And they work in hand as brothers, not as one better than the next. Anytime, and I was a young man through the 60s and the 70s, any program, anything went down in the community, a politician would make a presence to go to every church in his community, sit down, speak with the rev, go back and sit down with the people in the community. If you got an old wooden floor, they would all gather, come sit down in your yard, eat with your pot, your children they knew. They basically, it was like a village. Mm-hmm. And as time went by, the movie saw whereby that the shift through the modernized politicians, like, hey, your kids don't have to do this no more. So you basically move away from that family-oriented base.
Now, I can break it down. What we can do is this, because you're hitting something that I say, but I haven't had that inflection point to really say this is the time that it happened. Now, when you say that the politicians would say, oh, you don't have to do this anymore, what time
was this
introduced?
The transition came after independence.
Independence. I know he's going to say independence.
It happened.
So after 73.
Yes. After 73.
So as long as we was under the UBP rule.
Well, even I wouldn't say only the UBP rule, but the early days as a young man under the PLP, you saw this family, this was like we, not I, like Sister Ruby Ann said yesterday. It was everything but us. And as time shift, it became them and you. So it was no longer whereby that your credibility or your ability would get you by.
I got to touch this because yeah. I hear a lot of my older guys taking on a position and having conversations with me. And, you know, when you would read through the books and read through these particular things, you would see that there was an inflection, there was a point where the UBP recognized that the people wanted instant gratification. The stories about the UBP going out and giving people bags of flour, bags of rice, doing this, doing that, giving them money, and trying to be able to win their favor over to be able to win this position after they would have formed their political organization, right? And after they would have done that, the stories go that the PLP took on a position to be able to say, this is for you, this is for these things. But after they found themselves in the position of leadership in the country, they took on the same spirit of the UBP.
Yeah.
That's some of the ideas that was happened.
That's what it is.
So instead of being able to empower the people, they started to give the people just things and say to them, hey, man, you ain't got to do this no more. Just come to me.
Yes.
Almost trying to make themselves
undeniable
in these areas. Talk to me about it.
Yes, because if you look, I always told people this, that my grandfather, his father before him in Long Island, they were farmers, fishermen. My father passed in 2013, and I went through some documents that he had pertaining to some property. And I was shocked to see that here was a small man, my grandfather, not highly educated, but this was a man who had bought in 1923 through 1945, 300 acres scattered through the island of Long Island. I was like, I got all this education, but this guy was basically a builder. When I look at now, the way we are set up in our country, the shift has moved from the carpenter, the mason, the fishermen, who were the builders, the farmers, who was the wealth of our nation, to the lawyers. Mm-hmm. So now you have lawyers who now telling us, we know what is good for you.
Mm.
So we now move away from our grandparents to what I always call them, strangers telling us, we know what's good for you, so we're going to make sure that you take care of you. And so you saw
but
the shift.
But even, you know something?
And you saw the shift.
We can get deep with this today. Ladies and gentlemen, be a part of the conversation. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Hit us up on the text line, 422-4796. Now, I won't get deep with this. Because, you know, Loftus A. Roker sat with me. He sat with me several times. He's my guy, 100%. And I call him, he says, Howard, I'd love to come. Boom. Right? And in sitting with me, he started to tell me this story. He always tells me this story about how he went off to school and college went off to Europe, right? And in going there, he had nothing. He only had enough money to get there. He did not have enough money to get back. So whilst he was there, he knew that he had to pursue education. He had this pride in him from accolades. He said he carried this pride with him so deep that he never asked nobody for nothing. When they was hungry, I said, but you grew up during the recession. You grew up right after World War II. That's what I said to him now. I said, right after World War II, when you grew up, the world was in recession. He said, well, I didn't know. Nobody knew. All we knew is we didn't have, right?
Yeah.
He said, but mommy then would not allow me to ask for nothing. And if he was hungry, we boiled potato and eat it. So he said to me, this is what he carried. And this kind of passion and determination, he brought it back with him when he came from London. With education now. And so that sort of pride for community, pride for where he came from, was translated into the man that we see today.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me. His activism with his education as a lawyer placed him in this position. We don't see that today.
No.
Let's be very clear about it.
No, we don't.
It's true. It's the truth.
We don't even see teachers getting into this. Let's just be clear. Let's talk about this. There are not many persons getting into professions that are looking to contribute to community.
No.
How I can get this corn is the question that they ask.
Yep.
How I can make this money?
That's right.
Talk to me about it.
Yeah, and Howard, that's one of the major faults that I tell people as we move on, because, like I said, I was fortunate, born in the 60s, and to see the transition of our nation, because I always tell people that some of the people who I look up to, most of them then gone. People like Ms. Muriel Enius, her husband, Dr. Cleveland, people like the founder of the school I went to at St. Anne's, Canon John Pugh and his sister Rita. In the community, we talk to people like Lyndon Rose, father, Mr. Cecil Rose, Mr. Richard Ferguson, Mr. Ben. These were local people in the community that you look up to, and if you had a problem, they was willing to sit down, and if they couldn't solve it, you sure when you go to church on a Sunday, before you leave, Rev can have an answer for you. And then encourage you to listen, man, no matter who you are, you're somebody.
Man.
And that's the feeling. That's why I was so glad yesterday. I said, man. Howard had, I said, my big sister. That's what I look up to. Because I've sat down with her father and to see that all of these religious leaders up in the entire, you had the great H.W. Brown.
Yes,
and you have people like Reverend Mark Fee. You had Owe Pratt. These were the pillars of our nation building.
Well, you know,
we lost them.
I think the spirit's still here. We can talk about that. This is going to be our first commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be a part of the conversation. Please hit me up, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. The Foundation with Howard Grant. I feel like we need 4 hours today. Let's do what we can do with the two. Right? Let's do what we can do with the two. Ladies and gentlemen, be a part of the conversation. We'll be right back after this.
The Foundation.
Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most, all from one easy app, available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are Alive. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right. Order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive on our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you. On the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation, with Howard Grant right here, really being able to chop it down today, having a conversation about the inner city and the vision thereof. Somebody texts me and says, Howard, can you let them finish their point? I'm sorry, did I do that?
No.
I'm so sorry, right? I'm so sorry, right? So guys, we're in here. I want you to be a part of it. We're really talking about the inception of the sense of community. Over the past few weeks, more specifically since we kicked off the show, I thought it important to highlight two things that I think that has been eroded, that has been neglected, that has been sort of cast aside within our communities itself. One, the lack of community, and two, the sense of hopelessness that exists there. And so the entire concept of the show is really being able to get to the core of that and try to figure out how can we collectively find ourselves back on course to build the Bahama land that we envision. Scrooge, I want you to tell me about some things. You've been at this, how many years now? You've been at this some time.
I must say over 30 years.
Right? Yeah. Over 30 years you've been in this space. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what you would have seen over the past 30 years. So this is early 90s.
What I've seen? I've seen
chaos. Obviously you was a bad boy before this.
I was seeing chaos.
You was a bad boy?
Yeah, man.
It's Scrooge, not you, Scrooge. He's a decent man.
That's what the community got to offer. When you talked about the decay and what happened in our community, he speaked about it. And when we reached a certain point where we started to be instead of community values, we started to prey on one another. Mm. The leaders of the country decided to, you know, hold the political parties and have all that people in place. Mm-hmm. And that destroyed us because we are not together as a village no more. And what happened is we started to make decisions for ourselves, and all of the people, he said, passed away. No more knowledge was passed on to the next generation. Those who were successful started to leave out the community, but they left their cousins and brothers in the community. When the drug academic came in, first it was the rum academic, then the drug academic came in, the cocaine, and that was the finishing touches.
Well, I don't think the rum epidemic never left.
Yes. No, never left. But it was terrible. It was very terrible.
It was terrible.
It was terrible. Everywhere were Bahamian men drunk all over the road. Yeah. Grandfathers who had a lot of knowledge, teachers, doctors, lawyers, fishermen, whoever you could imagine. We had a serious alcohol problem before we had a cocaine problem.
Wow.
I am a cocaine baby, born in 1974. My mom was on crack cocaine, and my father was in prison.
All from the inner city?
All from the inner city. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about thousands, not just myself. And mainly, every family had someone who was on crack cocaine.
Yes.
And this described the whole family structure. And what do? We had the police to come and deal with all these criminals that we created after the lack of neglect. Remember now, we had a lot of mentors in the 60s and the 40s who teach us about fishing, farming, to utilize the young youth's talent so they could use their hands and their minds. Now that is gone because the crack cocaine has destroyed the family value. Mm. So there's no more family value, right? Further on, inside the community, there are no more jobs no more. You see? Because they're the small business, there were thousands of small businesses in the inner city community. We had theaters, we had the Cat and Fiddle, we had many tailor shops, we had many barber shops, we had the fishermen riding around, we had painted guys, we had food guys, we had everyone. So there was a lot of business could be created by individuals living in the community. So it was rewardable. That means you could use your hands, you could climb a tree and get some canaps, some soursop, and sell on the side of the road and make decent money. Now, all that is gone, and the government have nothing to offer. And what we had? The police. The police job is to come and go after criminals. Their job is not to rehabilitate. He talked about when the power switched from the UBP to our people. And you said it, Howard. It's true. When we inherit the power, first we wanted the British to go. The British left. But now we inherit the prime minister, the prison superintendent, the commissioner of police. Now all of a sudden, that power, we reflect on us. We start to punish ourselves. Mm. You know, you're the commissioner now. Mm-hmm. You go, then you just do what you got to do. But we all are behemoths. The politician passed laws not to help us, but to break us down. Mm-hmm. Then the churches went in their four walls because the criminals, they don't want to mix and mingle with those who are hurting, those who lost their father, mother to drugs, the getting killed, poverty, no spiritual advice, nothing is going on but just police brutality, us preying on one another, and it was just chaos. Mm. So what do you expect for me to happen? What do you think is going to happen to me and thousands of others?
I listening to you, and I want to hear from both of you whether or not the inception or the inflection of segregation, exactly where the point of segregation came, not necessarily with rum use or alcohol.
It did come.
Right? With alcohol, it existed because we still had this sort of a concept of rum running in our spirit and looking for opportunities there. And most importantly, and I'm sure that we're going to have to get a psychologist to be able to dive deeper into this, but there is this sort of a mindset that exists for people on islands like this. This ain't unique to the Bahamas.
No.
This island people.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be
right?
island.
Right? So though we may call ourselves paradise as island people, I believe that there is a subconscious something that lingers in our head that says that we're trapped.
Yes.
We can't move nowhere. We can't do nothing. Our dependency is on the external world to come and give us something. And I believe it does something to a man. Not everybody, right? I believe it does something to a man where they dive into the bottle or dive into substance abuse.
That's right.
Trying to take away
the stress.
This kind of a stress that exists in there.
They want to do better for themselves.
They want to do better for themselves.
They have no better time.
But I ain't got nobody to help me.
There's no...
Nobody
no,
to
no.
And I can't connect with nobody because it... Though we know that no man is an island, it surely don't feel like that.
No.
It feel like we're here by ourselves.
That's right.
Right? So I want to talk to you about that. Where did that point come? Did that expand? Because we always had that issue.
Yes.
Moana had that issue. Where did that point come from? Did we expand our stress, our trial,
yes.
our tribulation
yes.
when cocaine was introduced?
Yes. yes.
And what did cocaine do?
What did the cocaine
what did
do?
Crack cocaine do beyond giving us an alleviant and this sort of a euphoric feel to say that we could, well, okay, we liberated right now. What else did it did? It gave those who wasn't users the idea that I could be able to sell this and liberate myself.
That's right.
There's two forms
That's
of liberation.
Right. That's right. You're getting it.
There's two forms of liberation that it brought.
So all the small business is gone now. Remember, legal small wow. business is gone. Now... You have to change your mindset and go into the crack cocaine, which you're trying to make money to survive, but you're also destroying your society.
Wow. So that indifference, talk to me about it, Richard. That indifference that made people stone cold.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, there was warmth for your community at one point.
Oh, yeah.
We from 8 Mile Rock. We had this one guy, you know, in our colloquialism, we call him Joneses. But there's, I don't even know if I can call him homeless because people still open their hearts and their homes to them. They just don't want to come in. This guy was a substance abuser in 8 Mile Rock. And as he walked up and down, everyone was, come, sweep the shop, come do this, come mm-hmm. do that, to feed him, mm-hmm. so forth and so
mm-hmm.
on. But they rejected that to hold on to what they had with the little drugs. You understand what I'm saying? To do these things. So talk to me about that. What did this drugs do to our community?
It destroyed yes. our minds.
I would always tell people this, living in the Coconut Grove community, and I always tell people that, you know, when it comes to drugs, especially the cocaine, my community was so-called the Mecca because mm-hmm. everybody else from around the city of Nassau, if you wanted drugs, that's where you came. And I saw some of my elder cousins, some of my friends, some who have not here, some I've seen now have become reformed, but... It was a mindset that because, like Scrooge was saying, that there was nothing left because, you know, growing up in that era, they always said, well, if you ain't got no education, you was a dummy. And so for them, most of the young men who went up into drugs and taking it and selling it, that was a part for them to say empowerment to them because they had no one else to reach out to them. And so the more it became in abundance because it came like crazy. You would have said it in Grand Bahama, all through the Bahamas. People were finding drugs washed up on the beach. Didn't even know what it was. I saw people used to take it in care. It's like the washing clothes. Keys. But because as we got to understand
the value,
we found that, hey, you know what? Boy, Scrooge going to St. Anne's or whatever school, he's a big boss. But I don't need Scrooge. But I'm making live cash right now. And so that became the idol for the younger generation.
That's right.
So as time evolved, they follow the guys who are in front of them.
That's right.
That's who I want to be like. I don't want to be no preacher. I don't want to be no doctor. Man, I got quick money in my hand. And you had young men. I've known many guys on my block. Then the 300s came out, the 380s came out. I used to walk past
5.0.
Yes.
Mustang, the 280.
Yes. Well, I just was about to say, y'all was heavy on Iroxy, but Grand Muhammad was heavy on Boss.
Yeah, 5.0. 5.0.
But Howard, what I was saying to you, the year when they had Chogum in 85, they only one set of people drive the
Super 8.
The car of the day, which was the Crown and the Cedric.
Yeah, oh, I remember.
The Cedric? Yeah.
My daddy
had a Laurel.
But hold on.
I got an ox on the Laurel, daddy.
And
the Laurel.
My block, yes.
And the Laurel.
I had about 6 young men on my block. Couldn't spell their name as big as 96.9.
And get them.
They had fresh, brand new, because one reason, drugs.
Yes.
They were the kingpins. I used to walk past them sometime if I'm going out. They'll ask me, you go, and I say, I'll go to KSC. Throw me a couple hundred. Bring me back, check, and keep the change.
Jesus.
Mm. But they didn't know how to handle money. And so when you look at it, that the older folks from the 60s and the 70s, and then when you had the politicians sort of isolate themselves from those communities, that vacuum was placed by drugs and basically crime.
And hold on now. Let me just add on. And serious police enforcement.
Yeah.
And they have no mercy with nobody.
No.
Serious police enforcement. Now, remember, it's a mental health issue now.
Yeah.
There's a mental health. There's a long mental health was going on in this country.
Yeah, because some of the children are...
I'm a drug baby, you drugs. See?
Okay, yeah.
I was a drug baby, me. My mom, you remember what I said?
I can say this, Scrooge. I witnessed, and I still remember, I had a friend of mine, one night we all were sitting on a wall, and a certain CID back in the day called him to the car and made him put his head in the car and clipped him like you buy cattle.
It's no joke, you know.
And him and his partner come with the car and told the rest of us, break off running.
Running or what happened?
And I said, I'm running.
Because he knew what happened.
He said, why are you running? I said, if I run, you can
shoot him.
And they would have.
This the real thing. This would happen to us
we
in the inner city community.
In the inner city. And they wonder why you hear them.
This ain't real.
So you're saying to me that there was a war on the inner city.
What you mean? You listen.
There was a design war.
Yes.
Yeah. On the inner city.
The people who have mental health issues, who need help from the government and the church.
You know,
war was declared.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is this. I always feel as though we can't get to the core, or we can't find ourselves healing until we get to the core where we found this issue coming from. Now, some years ago, during the campaign trail, we would have heard President Joe Biden take on a position. And if you remember back in the day, he was very strong.
Yes.
On crack in California. He used to do the, what they used to call the RAM, what was the RAM thing that he was a part of the legislation that actually pushed that. Somebody text me and remind me exactly what it was. But when he stood up most recently on his campaign trail and started to talk about the Bahamas and crack cocaine and coke and so forth and so on, I said, well, I'm indifferent with this because I watched a documentary and I read a book with Free Ray Ricky Ross that said that there were some people who came into the communities and teach them how to do this crack.
It was a design.
Yeah. So this was not just a design on the inner city community of Nassau.
Design on a whole
people. A black
design plan. Destroy the family structure.
This is crazy.
It was designed to destroy the family structure. Because you're talking in the U.S.
Why is you talking
look at the same
this?
Time. Look at the same time.
That's
look at my age. Look at my age.
What?
1973 in the same time in the States. Look at it.
It's the same time this is happening in Nassau,
same thing.
Bahamas.
Gangs come out.
This is simultaneously happening
that was
in
design.
What?
It was a design. And our government fought for it.
In Compton.
Yes. Our government fought for it.
In Chicago.
War on drugs.
In Detroit.
War on drugs.
In New York.
War on drugs and drugs coming
in
from Colombia. Why war on drugs in the Bahamas and the drugs coming from Colombia into
this
the U.S.?
Crazy.
Think about it. The drugs, that we ain't making it here, right? And yet still we getting persecuted from our own brothers and sisters.
But I also noticed something that most behemoths never paid attention to. Was that in that time space, we had two things going on. We had a high teen pregnancy rate.
Listen.
And we had a high imprisonment rate of young men. And one of the things that I noticed growing up at that time was that the young men would go to prison, do their time. And when they come out,
they were
cast aside as outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
From the church.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
From the politicians.
Oh, I like this
from
guy.
The community.
He's from the inner city.
The young lady who got pregnant didn't know who the baby daddy was.
That he is.
But she was embraced by the community like she was the queen of England.
Mm-hmm.
the church embrace her, the politician embrace her, and everybody, and they basically created a divide there now. That you had the young man who now said, look, I didn't do my time, I want to get my life back, but they never let him forget, but you've been to prison. You ain't got no say in the society. So you had this whole generation from 90s going into 2000, mm-hmm. building up with this rage in them.
And look at them where they come.
Yeah.
Look at them where they come from, so our time to them.
Anti-social. And so you now have some of the politicians saying, well, you know what? We can think of something. They give them trinkets mm-hmm. just to sup, to keep it down.
Get some screw generals.
But to do the actual legwork to say, hey, bro, I know what you're being through. Let us see how we can let's work together. To get you the help you need so we can build back.
Let's have you what you're saying, because what you're saying to me is this, and I'm listening. I hear, now y'all know if I made my rock.
Why do I say you made my rock? You're Bahamas.
No, because let me tell you why. I have to emphasize that, because sometimes people like to differentiate what, man, you ain't know nothing but this.
You know for that.
Man, I know
you're
but this.
You're the cocaine chapel of the world.
I know for this.
Freeport. After NASA, New Providence, Freeport take over the cocaine export business.
Every car God could send.
Latest cars.
The latest thing.
Yes.
And you sure you had one?
No, I had none.
Why are you laughing?
No, I, no, right? Now, every car God could send, every car the man could make was in 8 Mile Rock.
Of course, because you're closer to the States.
Hot on the road.
Because the drugs got to go.
Every you see this thing with the guys like to do now with the six and, yeah. and yeah. 6 o'clock 600. And driving on the motorbike thing,
yeah.
up and down 8 Mile Rock, floating 16 Suzuki, pole, 20 pole,
Suzuki 1500, right?
All these 1100 things, 1100 Suzuki, right?
Ninjas,
and only because now watch me, and this is the direction that we can take now.
Go ahead.
Only because I had a father
mm-hmm.
who used to get cut hip from his daddy. To keep in line with what God called you to do.
Yes.
His mother, his brothers, and listen, we still had uncles and aunts and so forth and so on who would have slipped into the drug game.
Yeah.
Who would have slipped in and become abusers.
Family members. It was attractive.
But the only reason that I would have been in this kind of position to hold firm and hold your head is because my father, my grandfather, my uncle said, this drugs ain't for you. Watch me.
Yeah.
This drugs ain't for you at all. So I just want to be able to be very clear about this. There's some things that happen here, but the strength of our communities still existed with our fathers.
Yes.
Because whilst I see some fellas, and I wouldn't call no name on it because the 8 Mile people listening right now, how do I call the people's name?
You can't go back.
Right? I can't. Some of these fellas dead. Some of these fellas gone on the plane. We never see them again, ever.
Yes.
Right? And they had 50, you think Mr. T had chains, eh? 8 Mile Rock, the fella got 28 chains on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And young boys drop out of school at 8 years old in the seventh grade.
Selling drugs and carrying fire.
Selling drugs.
Fire. And they mind now. Listen,
they destroyed our community.
Yes.
These people destroyed our community.
Yes.
You understand?
It's designed.
But that's neither here nor there. We have to start to talking about how we mend our community from this point.
Good.
And I want to dive into that with you guys. I want to talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so much for being a part of this conversation today, because this is really mind-blowing to me, because the same stories that happen in your neck of the woods, in your communities, and whilst a lot of people would have done whatever they can do to educate themselves and live on the outskirts of the island, that has not changed the fact that the inner cities have been decayed and dying day in and day out. We need your hearts. We need your passions. We need your ideas to get back, to renew, revive, and restore what was once our community collectively. Guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to join me in this conversation today. I want you to give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. I'm going to take this commercial break, and then we're going to get into news and get right back after this. I'm in the studio with none other than Richard Cartwright and Valentino Scrooge Brown, talking about the inner city, then, now, and where we're heading into the future. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant, 96.9 FM. We'll be right back after this.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity.
Divania's Grilled Food and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try the jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Divania's, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Divania's today at 817-4468.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and the Foundation. So happy that you tuned in with us today. Listen, man, this is sort of gearing up for Super Bowl. This is the month of love. There's a month of Super Bowl. There's a month of everything out here. And we have some very special guests in studio with us today. None other than Nathan Arnett. He's all the way from AB and Bev. That is Anheuser-Busch for all you persons over the age of 35, 40. You should know, right? AB and Bev, he's here with us, Nathan. He's the brand manager, really here to talk to us about this big party that you guys got going on. It's going to be kicking off at the Cricket Club. And the major winners who's going all the way to Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Arnett, it's so wonderful to have you in the studio with us, my brother. Tell me a little bit about it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. So, like you mentioned, yes, this week is all about Super Bowl. This week is the big week, the biggest week of the year for Super Bowl. Well, for the NFL, which is the Super Bowl. So this year, the Super Bowl is in Phoenix. But here in Nassau, we, after a hiatus, because, you know, we do Bud Light do have it every year, we're having the big Super Bowl party again this year. So it's going to be crazy. It's definitely going to be crazy. We're going to do it bigger and better. So this Sunday, it's going to be at the Cricket Club. The doors open at 4 p.m., which is the pregame, and kickoff starts at 6:30. So I would advise you, because it's going to get packed fast.
So 3 p.m., the doors open at Cricket Club.
4 p.m. 4 p.m. is the pregame.
4 p.m. pregame, right? 4 p.m., the doors open at the Cricket Club, and you can get your sauce. You see what I did there?
You're right, right.
This, I asked it for you all. Yeah. You think we're coming out here and we want stew fish?
Upon entry, you know, you pay your entry, it's $10, you get in, you automatically get a free Bud Light on entry. So you walk in, you're greeted by hostesses, things like that. Food-wise, we're going to have grill out there, hot dogs, things like that, good down-home food. It's going to be amazing.
Tell me about this, though. Tell me, what's the fee to be able to get in there? Because a lot of persons are trying to figure out what they can do right now as it relates to how we can get involved. Mm-hmm. What can we do I'm looking for stuff to do, right? Where I could care of my lady.
Right.
In a nice, decent environment where we could be able to enjoy ourselves. And we don't have to worry about people getting crazy because the Kansas City Chiefs lost, right? You see what I did there, right? right? Oh, so tell me about it. Tell me about how, if we have to reserve anything, what do we do if we want to be a part of hanging out with Budweiser?
Right. So you don't have to reserve anything. Everything is sold at the door. So it's $10 to get in with a free Bud Light. Now, this year we are incorporating a skybox area. So it's going to be right along the screens. We have three big screens, so huge screens. So you're going to be immersed in the whole Super Bowl experience. So you're going to feel like you're there. So the whole field is going to be decked out like a football field. We're going to have the sky.
At the cricket club.
At the cricket club. Yeah.
The same cricket club we used to go to.
The same cricket club.
Y'all can book it out?
We booking it out.
Wow. This
yeah. So it's going to be you're going to feel like you're at the Super Bowl. So yeah. Like I said, we're adding some skyboxes. So the skyboxes are $30.
I'm interested in the skybox.
Right. So you can have a good view.
Where's the skybox going to be?
It's going to be right along
the front porch area.
Right. Not the front porch area. So as you walk in, you know, you walk down on the field.
Yeah.
So you walk down on the field and straight ahead is the big screens. And then on each side is going to be the skyboxes.
Y'all wilding out.
Yeah, we're wilding out.
Y'all doing big things.
Yeah, man. So like I said, you do come early because we're not doing anything. No pre-tickets.
So you give me one beer
right
when I get in.
One beer on entry.
And I have to get my own concretes?
You have to get your own food.
But this is the good cricket club food that we know.
Yeah.
So they still got everything.
Yeah, she's still gonna have her great tasting food. So it's still gonna be there. She's gonna have it on the outside. For you guys to incorporate the large crowds that's gonna be there.
Wow.
So the food is gonna be amazing.
Wow. Tell me a little bit more about what you do. Now, you have done something over the past few months or so. I don't know how long you've been doing it, but you've identified three persons that have won tickets to go to Arizona.
Yes.
Talk to me about this.
So the Enter the Win promotion. So this year we went with the theme for the fans for the whole NFL season. So because it's basically for our fans, you know, without you guys, you know, we wouldn't be here. So this year we wanted to take it back to kind of appreciate you and show you guys that Bud Light is here, AB and Bev is always here, and we always try to put on amazing experiences. So for the Enter the Win, it was an Enter the Win. You buy a 6-pack in any Jimmy's, Wines and Spirits or participating locations. You get your Enter the Win card and you drop it in the drop box. And so we chose the winners last month. And so the three winners were Mr. Vivian Bain, Mr. Cyril.
You're telling people name. Suppose they didn't want their
wife. No, they already
did. You need to stop.
No, I can say that because they've already been in the newspapers.
Okay.
So we've already had stories on them. I wouldn't put their name on there.
No, baby, we have a very important, I got to go to a board meeting. All right?
Oh, no.
For definitely. 4 days.
Yeah, we had a whole press conference with them. So they are ecstatic. They can't wait. So the first person is Mr. Vivian Bain. The other two gentlemen is Mr. Cyril Robinson and then Mr. Jerome Humes. So those three guys are ready to go. I mean, every day they hit me up like, y'all, we ready. Like, we ready. From the first day, the messages that I got from the first day was insane. Like, these guys are diehard football fans.
But they don't have to just go by themselves.
And they are not going by themselves. So the package that we got was a double package. So they get themselves plus one. So we're taking six people.
You're taking six people?
Six people.
And, you know, there is an expectation that this is Bud Light. This should be top of the line. AB and Bev should be taking care of us. All exclusive, everything paid. Talk to me about that. I'm sleeping at the Motel 6.
No.
You see the Motel 6, right?
So with Bud Light, we do everything big. So because Bud Light is the official beer for the NFL, you know, this is the biggest platform for the NFL, which is the Super Bowl. So we have to do it big. So from they leave here, everything is VIP. Everything's included. Everything's exclusive. So they leave here and we go to Phoenix. And from they get off the plane, they're met with hosts.
First class.
First class.
Spirit Airways.
No. No.
Go ahead, tell me the truth, right?
I had a bad experience with my nephew recently with Spirit. So we definitely ain't going with Spirit. But yeah, so it's an all-inclusive package. So they're going to Phoenix. They, you know, they met with the host. Everything is VIP. You know, AB and Bev, they have coordinators and hosts that will cater to them hand and foot.
We ain't got to drive, though.
They don't have to drive.
You take us everywhere.
Everything is, we'll have limos there. Transportation. And then once we get there, we have curated events for them. So Bud Light.
Really?
Yeah. So Bud Light, we'll have like large tailgate, VIP tailgate events, which will be right inside a special section.
Experience.
Yeah, a full experience.
And they get to see, I think it's Rihanna singing this year.
Rihanna will be the halftime. So
come here, rude boy. Talk to me.
To put the cherry on.
This is going
to
be nice.
Yeah. So they have a full weekend. And we're leaving Friday. So they have a full weekend of start to finish. We're just going to be on the go. We have the Bud Light Music Fest. Imagine Dragons is going to be performing. When they get there on Friday, they have Willie Nelson and his family performing just for us.
Are you serious?
At a reception dinner.
So tell me this. Is this AB and Bev across the United States of America? Have they all had these simultaneous sort of events where they bring in all the winners in?
Yes. So from the larger markets, because the Bahamas is one of the largest market in the Caribbean.
I.e. the largest consumers. My God.
Yeah. For the small country. I know, right? So because of that, you know, it's not every market that goes, but they do have a lot of markets that come together all at one time, which is at the Bud Hotel. So they rent out a whole hotel everywhere they go. So whatever product sponsors, whatever. So for example, FIFA had Budweiser. So I sent a winner to FIFA in December, and we had the Bud Hotel there. And everything was curated for just Budweiser. So the same thing here. Wherever Bud sponsors a particular event, they do it big. So, so it's going to be at the McCormick Ranch, Scottsdale at the McCormick Ranch. So they don't have to worry about anything.
Are you going too?
I will be going.
This is exciting stuff. How do I get your job? No, I just
it is exciting stuff,
man. Listen, so let's just drive a couple things home again. If you want to be a part of this, maybe you have not been one of the winners for the Bud Light raffle that they had over the last month or so. But it doesn't negate the fact that you can still contribute. You can still be a part of this. You can still be a part of the entertainment, the excitement of a Super Bowl feel, even in your skybox. Check it out. We're going to be over at the Cricket Club come Sunday. We're kicking it off with everything at 4 p.m. You can be able to get in there and sort of it's $10 to get in the door. You get a free Bud to go with that. And while you're doing that, you have everything there that is the Cricket Club. So you know the food is going to be good. The service is going to be wonderful. The environment is going to be nice and homely, something familiar that you can be able to enjoy yourself with. I'm really interested to know how you guys are going to book out that place. I'm going to come and check it out. I got to come and check it out, right? I won't tell my wife, though. I can be there by myself. Yeah. Right?
It's going to be amazing.
But I want to be able to thank you, man. I thank you so very kindly. I know Vivian, Cyril, and you said Cyril and Jerome.
Yeah.
They are going to be very excited. I'd love them to tell me a little bit more about what's going to be happening when they get back here into the country and talk about those stuff. Anything else that you want to talk about, just please let me know, guy. What else is Budweiser doing going forward into the future? Because we know Super Bowl is just right now, but we know that you always have something on the table. Talk to us about anything new that you guys are doing.
I can't mention what we have in the future, but like I said, AB and Bev in general, so the portfolio of Bears, we have a few things coming this year for the other brands. So like Michelob, Corona, we have a few big things that we plan this year for 2023. So look out for that. Of course, you know, Bud Light will always do things big. And so, you know, the NFL, like last year, for example, we gave away a car. So it's
what kind of car? Talk to me.
It was a what was it? A Kia. I can't remember the car's name.
Okay.
So it was a pretty good car.
We can talk off air.
Yeah.
See how I can sign up for these things.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a pretty good car. But like I said, we always do things big. We for Budweiser, like I said, for the FIFA, we sent a winner away. It was, and that was in Qatar. So that was
in Qatar.
Yes. So like we always put together these amazing experiences.
Wow.
And one of a kind experiences, and we continue to do so.
Wow. But,
yeah, just look out for a lot of things that's going to happen this year. It's only going to get big and better.
Man, Nathan, I want to be able to encourage you guys to continue to be able to lend these experiences to the persons. There's a lot of persons out there looking for opportunities to kind of get up and off the rock and to be able to see the world. So these sort of ideas, these plans that you have in place, I really want to encourage you guys to continue to be able to push. Budweiser has been a staple in the community for a very long time.
Yes.
Whilst I don't necessarily, I don't consume all the time.
Right. Talk to
me. I'm more of a wine connoisseur.
Yeah.
Right. But I know about it. My grandfather, when he was with us, this is one of the things that he enjoyed, just sort of to kick back with the bud. So we know that he's been a part of the community to be able to do some stuff. And to hear that you're doing stuff like this is an amazing thing. All the way to Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. So
all the way there?
All the way there. And then for here, like I said, this Sunday is going to be, you're going to feel just like you're in Phoenix. And I would advise people to come out early. So bring your crew, come out early.
So come out early than 4 o'clock?
No, come out 4 o'clock. Don't wait till 6 o'clock.
Because you got to come from church.
Yeah, don't wait till 6 o'clock.
Don't bring your church shoes. They can slip down when you... Right. Oh, God! Touchdown. Slip down.
You ain't going to have no space by the time 6 o'clock come. You know how behemoths go. So I say 4 o'clock, get your crew, get your spot, get a good view of the screen so you out there and you ready. Because you don't want to be jamming in between people and trying to find the right spot when the game is about to start.
Yeah. So drive home a few more of the stuff that you want us to be able to know about what you guys are doing so we can be able to kind of note those things and still be able to push it for you even after you go.
No problem. So, yes, this Sunday at the Cricket Club, Bud Light is having their Super Bowl party. It's starting at 4 p.m., which is the pregame. Kickoff is at 6:30. It's $10 at the door with a free Bud Light. The Sky Boxes, which is limited, so I would advise you to get there early also, which is $30 if you want a good view of the screens. You know, you have everything VIP decked out, and everything is going to be Bud Light. So we just want you to come out, enjoy yourselves. It's going to be crazy. We're going to have giveaways, and it's just going to be a whole fun affair.
And you got the Bud Girls and everything laid out.
Bud Girls, Promo Girls, everything is going to be out there. We have dancers, you know, and then, of course, you know, the halftime is coming. So, you know, everybody wants
to have a halftime show in the halftime
show? No.
Because I can't pay attention to all these things.
No. And then also, I do want to big up KO because KO is a part of this. They're making sure that everything is put on well. And, you know, KO does everything big.
Yeah.
So they're definitely a huge part in this. And then also, after the event, we are having a after party with DJ Tank. So, you know, you don't
right
have to
the
go
Cricket
home.
Club.
Right there at the Cricket Club. So you don't even have to go home. That's going to be a whole night affair.
All night?
All night affair.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remember Cricket Club, 4 o'clock Sunday after church. If you get in a church, maybe you ain't in a church because you had it. But most of you should go to church to pray for the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk to me.
Oh, man.
You got to pray for them because Philly got it. I feel like Philly got it.
You really?
I feel like Philly got it.
Well, that's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one.
I feel like Philly got it. So we're going to see Sunday. You know, my wife, she's going to be doing some wings and things like that. Maybe I tell her, don't worry about it. We come over to the Cricket Club.
Come over.
And kind of check some stuff out.
Definitely.
And you be able to enjoy ourselves with you guys, right?
Yes.
All right, man. I thank you so very kindly, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been none other than Nathan Arnett, brand manager for AB InBev, telling us all about what Budweiser, AB InBev is going to be doing all the way in Phoenix, Arizona, and right here in our very backyard at the Cricket Club on Sunday at 4 p.m. You got to be able to see this live and in full effect. You can be able to be a part of it. It's $10 to get in the doors. And if you want VIP, some of the Skybox experience over at the Cricket Club, which I think is going to be bananas, it's going to be $30, right?
Yes.
Is there any way that we can kind of do pay for it in advance or we can just kind of walk up?
Unfortunately, not at this time. No.
So we just walk up with our money available.
Right.
Suppose we got the money on the credit card. Talk to me.
We have credit card machines also.
Yeah, credit card machines.
Yeah, so cash or credit.
Because, you know, behemoths ain't getting money no more.
Oh, no. We got this.
You got everything later.
2023.
Guys, please be a part of this and see exactly what I want to thank Budweiser, AB InBev, for participating and being able to sponsor our show here at the Foundation and really being able to talk about these things. Thank you so very kindly for it, guys. If anything that you're doing in the future, please let us know. We're more than happy to kind of hear that message out there for all those persons who like to kind of kick back, especially on the weekends, and enjoy a cold bud. Right, so thank you so very kindly, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Howard Grant right here, 96.9 FM Radio, The Foundation, really being able to dive into it today. I thank you so very kindly, Nate. Is there anything else before
no,
we go?
That is it.
We good.
Just see you on Sunday.
We can see you on Sunday. Nate will be there. You should know who he is. He'll have a cool button in his hand. Ready to go, you guys, right? See you on Sunday, guys. We're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Just a small intermission in the midst of what we're doing. Budweiser wanted to kind of talk about what was happening over the weekend, what will be happening over the weekend. And they sounded like it got some exciting stuff going on. But, you know, we were in the thick of a conversation. I think we got to the root of it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in for the midday, for the 1 o'clock hour, I want to thank you so very kindly for that. Sitting in the studio with me, I have none other than Richard Cartwright and Valentino Scrooge Brown, really being able to sit down and talk to us about what has been going on in the inner city area. Now, in all honesty, let's sort of break it down over the course of the conversation. We've identified something that has been the inflection of separation in our community, substance abuse. Substance abuse has really ripped our communities apart, and this idea of the duality of what we saw with drugs, where you could become either a drug dealer or a drug user. One way or the other, there was an alleviant, the idea of an alleviant, right? Whether you're taking the drugs, it made you feel this kind of euphoria, or whether you're making money from the drugs, it empowered you to the position of the fact that you felt superior, right? But so this has separated the community, separated, you know, you said something that was strong. Right? The churches fell into their four walls. The politicians separated themselves. Talk to me about that. You were walking here in the studio and you said something that was strong. You said the churches neglected. Talk to me. The churches neglected their position. And I started to hit it with Rubianne Cooper-Darling just yesterday, if you remember, if you're listening to the conversation, because she started to talk. I tell her, I thought it was the politicians who built the people house.
No.
It was the churches.
The churches. Yes.
But the churches don't do that no more.
No, they rent. Go ahead. In fact,
they don't even talk to you. No. Many of these churches don't talk to you if you don't pay your tithes.
Yeah, the church back in the day was your inner city bankers. They were the ones who basically held the communities together. They were the glue. The politicians was like a shoe salesman. He had to get their permission to come into these inner cities, communities, and to be...
That's how he won.
Yeah.
He had to come to your church to win.
Yes. If he didn't...
Ain't nobody voting for you.
Yeah. But...
The churches held the influence.
And what happened is, as time went by, the elder statesmen in the church basically died and was passed on to others. And basically, a lot of them did not have, I call it, that calling. Because I remember when pastors...
It's heavy what you're doing.
Used to go in the pulpit, open their Bible, and read and give a sermon. Today, if you watch most pastors, everybody got a script they write down, like they read it, like the President of the United States speech to the nation. And so that tells you that. That is not to be, I always tell people, that showed you that people started to notice you ain't get the call. And so you find now. The people in the city started.
But that ain't what it sound like to me, Richard.
What it sound like,
okay, let me tell you how you set it up in my mind. You set it up and said some of the older folks who had this sort of thing on them, they died out.
Mm-hmm.
And they passed it on to the younger generation. The younger generation, you say they didn't have the call. But that ain't what it sound like to me. It sounded like they sell out.
Well,
straight with me.
Well, they ran into money.
Yes.
It sounded like they sold out. To mammon.
Because he gave a good definition. He said the church used to go and talk to the politicians to build the houses. Now, a new generation coming who weaker. They don't see that no more. They go on and get involved in bed with the politician now. Mm. And now they enter it for money. So people start to see through the smoke screen. You're in it for God. You're in it for Jesus. You're in it for the money and the love of money. And before you help people, you rather say, you know, bring the tithes. And if tithes were given from people who come to the church to go to help the poor people who live right next door to you, many of the churches today don't even know who their neighbors is on the right next to them or any of the kids in the community. Far as I'm concerned, there are people who just go into the church but don't live in the community. That's how it was.
You know,
it's changing now.
Ruby Ann Cooper Darling yesterday was starting to tell us about a little something, right? She was saying, you'd hear about a fight one time ago, and you know, somebody get hit with a bottle or somebody get hit with a bat, and they had a little fight, a little scrap here and there, and somebody would grab an ice pick. Instead of grabbing the ice, they grabbed the ice pick, and persons would get stabbed up and so forth and so on as a result of that. And my question to you is that with the expounding with the ever-growing violence in the inner city area, right? You always hear somebody get shoot. You always hear something happen. Do you see churches now, church members and groupings from the church now, showing up at those scenes, comforting families, giving them a shoulder to cry on, reassuring them with something? You know, I saw the strength of the community in 8 Mile Rock when my grandfather died. He was well in his 70s, but he was a part of the staple of the community. These people bring sacks and ale and rice and this and that. And they bring case of chicken.
That's supposed to be.
And they bring macaroni. The man just died 28 minutes. Bring a whole pot of macaroni. Where you get to bake this? Did you know he was going to die? This is a lot, right?
No.
I mean, Grammy House would stack up with things.
Because it was a family.
Has the church been that?
No.
Is the church doing that now?
No. The church, and I always try to explain to friends of mine in the gospel that you have to look at what got you here. Don't change. And what has happened is that the community is wiser and the community is very observant. So when you see problems back in the day in communities, all they say will call Reverend so-and-so. And you resolve the problem. Today, people don't even want to mingle, want to see the Rev or anyone.
they're scared that Rev gonna ask them for something.
And so they are
Richard, I haven't seen you in church. You haven't paid your tithes.
And so what people looking at, and I said to people, I said, listen, man, the way you're gonna reach the community, you have to go out to them. You have to. You cannot sit in the walls or only on Sundays. You have to have programs that will entice them. Meet them at their level. sit down, whatever you see they like to do. If they want to work with computers, get some people in your church, get some people in the community. Let's form a class where we can now be that intermediate. So moms at work, dads at work, so the kids are not sitting home idle. You become more involved, and that's how the church was. You know, I always tell people that I think your kids go to Prince Will.
Yeah.
You know, the old Prince Will was on Blue Hill Road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where your kids go now, Howard, people don't realize it, but the man who was instrumental in getting that school built was the Sidney Poitier through the urging of Reverend Ari Cooper, mm-hmm. Ruby Ann's father.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were the real nation builders.
Mm.
What has happened now is that the politicians tried to let you know that we build a nation. No.
That's not true.
You ride on the back of the builders.
Yes, community leaders.
Yeah, but yes. Where are you all to remind them?
When they
open up their mouth and start talking foolishness to the people of the country to make you see, and I always point at the PLP for this, and I'm going to be very clear with you, because I only hear this sort of a chime, this chant, this idea, and I feel like it came out of the PLP party. When they started to talk about the idea that we're doing all the heavy lifting and we are wiping every tear from every eye, that sinked into the heart and soul of the Bahamian people. Because guess what? We are broken people.
Yes.
We came from trial and tribulation. We came from segregation. We came from suppression. And Bahamian people ever looking for some leader to take them out.
Yeah.
Right? They call the former prime minister Moses.
Yep.
You can lead us out of Egypt. And we ain't going nowhere. We right here.
Yeah, we still.
We ain't lead out of nowhere. We right here. Right? But they still carry on this idea that we will do all the work for you. And many politicians, now not all, I can't put all the PLP in one bucket, but many of them still carry that sort of a rhythm and idea of what people used to respond to yesterday. It ain't working no more.
It ain't working because no more.
So you give them a chance and
they drop it.
That's why, you want to see? One shot and you're gone. If you don't do good serving in government, you're gone.
You know, Scrooge and Howard, and I said this to someone the other day, of all of our prime ministers, it was the one who I thought should have understood the plight of those in the inner city was the former prime minister, Dr. Menes. And the reason why...
Stop it. Hold on.
Let me say...
You need to stop.
Hold on. Let me say the why.
Jeez. Go ahead.
Dr. Menes grew up in Bayntown, came over onto Market Street, into the Grove, Mountain Lights. All of these are inner cities.
He
knew the landscape.
He lived this landscape. But for some reason, going through all of his political...
He lost track of it.
When he got to that power seat, he forgot. He had amnesia. Because I keep telling people today...
He had amnesia?
So Dr. Menes, I knew before politics.
It's easy to do that.
But you can't, Howard.
No. What you mean you can't? It's already done.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that. Let me tell you why it's easy to do that. When you surround yourself by yes men, but you identify men who are going to say to you, boss, just to satisfy whatever this is, right? It's almost like the proverb where the king was naked and everyone was saying, oh, this is beautiful material that you got on there. It's transparent. Mm-hmm. I love this material. And the king's naked. And it takes an innocent child to say, but you are naked. The innocence doesn't exist in our city.
Mm.
No one said this to him. Maybe from the peripheral, maybe from the outskirts, somebody screaming at him, but you reject those ideas.
You reject everything.
Because he doesn't have this in his inner circle. Someone to say to him, hey, boss man, you know you're straying from where you was, right? Boss man, this is not the plan that we had in terms of moving forward. You say you was going to do some stuff with the inner city, boss man.
And he ain't no crap.
We ain't see you do nothing with the inner
city. That's why I piss on
them. Right? You say you was going to commit yourself to those areas. You was going to expand the program for the inner city, boss man. But you ain't do these things. And as soon as you said anything in those areas, you get wiped off the list.
Yes.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I always told people, you know, my first time sitting in the parliament, in the gallery, was when Dr. Menes became prime minister. And I said, you know, let me see what it is. And through my time watching and observing, I was like, wow.
Now, listen to me. We ain't make this show about Dr. Menes.
No, I'm just going to show you that ahead. As leaders, the problem I see with our political leaders is that they will talk the language of the people
to in opposition
when they're there, out there with them. But once they get into that power,
but I don't see. Let me tell you what. I agree with that for this generation of leaders,
yeah.
And I believe that that has to change. And I believe that we have the wherewithal to change that. But in the inception, in the development, in for the architects of this country, you couldn't say that to
those guys. You were, say that they were nation builders. They were living in the village.
You couldn't say that to Loftus Roker.
No, they were village.
The great Loftus Roker would sit here with me and give me letters upon. Loftus Roker showed me the other day a 30-page, I think it was 30 pages, 30-page letter of resignation. 30 pages. So I said, sir, I think you're going over 29 pages too long.
You get integrity.
The first page was to say, I quit. Full stop. That's it.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? He said, no, I had to let them know why I separated myself from boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
See, right. People stood for integrity. See, let me show you
what's happening. Integrity.
People stood for integrity. Integrity. Lifting up one another. Okay? That's what we stood for. When he talked about the former prime minister, he was a doctor, my brother. He was a doctor for over 30, 40 years, and he ain't doing nothing with the Princess Margaret Hospital, knowing the conditions of the Bahamian people in this country. Okay? Mm-hmm. Leaders who inherit the leadership, you know, they're the ones who can dictate if they're going to help people or if they're not going to help people. Simple as this. Okay, we have a current prime minister right now. He have the ball in his hand. He is saying he just knew about the condition at the Princess Margaret Hospital, them documents going at it, right? But both of them served in two different cabinet under...
Two different leaders.
And this is the problem now, Howard, why we can't get nowhere in the country. Because it's a piggyback when it's time to say we are supposed to be moving forward. We always fighting against one another when we know. What we were supposed to do. The hospital is supposed to be a main objective in the country. Building up the inner city is supposed to be a main objective because you know all the things we talked about on the show shows you no excuse that we have serious problems in the country and we need to address it.
Well, this is round one of this conversation. I think we're going to have a sort of a series and really take a good evaluation, psychological evaluation on the ground. We're going to take an evaluation as it relates to law, criminality, from all those perspectives, and I really want to dive deeper into that. But let me take this commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Please be a part of the conversation. 323-6232. I see you guys on the line. 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up with a text, 422-4796. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant. We're going to take this commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back. Right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. If you have information or products that encourages healthy living, promote sound financial decisions, or even one smart decision is to advertise in the Wealthy and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, massage, or physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant, does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement, plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian Healthy and Wise supplement.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, and it is unmatched.
We reach out happens daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with The Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant with The Foundation right here, really being able to chop it down with you on this beautiful Wednesday in the studio with me. If you're just tuning in, what are you doing, right? You should have been here. We had great conversations today. We've been able to talk about sort of a continuation. The idea was to be able to identify what was happening in the inner city from its inception, past, present, future, the inflection of where we've been separated from the community and where this hopelessness crept into the community, right? So we started really talked about it. And I feel like today we've identified it to be a substance abuse, right? Substance abuse, more specifically crack cocaine, these that separated politicians, that caused itself to kind of fall into itself and allowed violence to run wild like shepherd needle in the bush, right? Just all over the place, like love vine, just continuing to be able to suck against the sap of the community that exists in those areas, right? So we've identified those inflections. We've talked about what needs to happen. And we just want to talk about solutions in this last 15 minutes or so. I want to talk about some solutions. Both you guys, during the break, has given me some very good, potent points that you believe that you can find reform. Scrooge, I want to go with you first. There are some 5 areas, more specifically, that you've kind of highlighted for me, that you believe that if we deal with these things, we can be able to rectify some stuff. Now, I can put the 5 on the table one time, right? So the first thing is community center, right? You talked about the community center. Second thing is small business. Third thing is, you said, teaching hospitality. The fourth thing is, and the fifth thing is beautification. Expand on that. Why do you think that these are the areas? Now, you're in the inner city. Why do you think that these are the areas that you're going to see some change from?
Yes. I think we'd see changes, which we are seeing changes. It's simple. If we create small businesses in the community, if we get 10, 20 small businesses, that means we have persons who got revenue coming in, okay, in the community, because we'd have customers coming in the community.
My God, I tell you we need 4 hours. Let me tell you why. You see, I won't cut you off, because the real thing is that the former Prime Minister, which is a very good friend, right, obviously. Right. The former Prime Minister, would have taken on a position to do the Over the Hill initiative.
Which,
right?
I was a part of it.
The Over the Hill initiative was designed to be able to help
small
businesses.
That's what it's all about.
But you're saying to me that small businesses there that don't belong to the people.
No, not. It is listed. But we're not seeing the effect of it inside the inner city community.
Okay, so small business. Go ahead.
Right. We're talking about beautification. We live in a community where there are rats, abandoned cars, mm-mm, abandoned houses. Mm-mm. Okay? Road needs to be paved. Mm-mm. Okay? Our intellect, cleanliness next to godliness. This alone makes you feel like you're a human being living in the community, because everything is cleared down. There are no rats running around, or there are no abandoned cars. All the old abandoned houses in the community are getting fixed, cleaned up, put into use. That is something useful. It could be a business center. It could be a house for a single parent mother. It could be whatever it is. I also talked about money management. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister just stated that yesterday that close to 70,000 Bahamians don't even have, listen, they, I think it was 70 people who don't even have a bank account. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you know what that means? It means the same thing we're talking about, how this affects us. You can imagine that 70,000 people in the country don't have a bank account.
I got to break down that number. We could have more conversations about that.
You understand?
I believe that this could eradicate a lot of the illegal issues that we have in this country.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. So beautification is very important. We take control of our community. Small businesses will create revenue and create other small businesses in the community. Okay?
You're talking about teaching hospitality. And about
hospitality is very important because, you know, we tend to get bad face. Like, let's say I come to your restaurant.
You're talking about customer service.
Customer service.
Okay, Dominguez.
Yes, because you have to learn that, because if you're going into the business and you want to be successful as a business person, you have to learn hospitality. Many of us as Bahamian, if a customer comes to you and say, excuse me, I want a lemonade juice and a specific lemonade. Now, you as a customer go to the window. The person who's going to serve you might have an attitude with you just because, you know, you said, we'll change that. That one is hot. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're supposed to, the customer always right. The person who's serving you would actually argue with the customer. And that's the kind of problem we have now that we have to correct in the country, because we seem to lose our way when we had the proper training, when we were disciplined back when we were young. Mm-hmm. And I just go with that for now.
Mm-hmm. No. Don't leave me.
Go ahead.
Don't leave me.
Go ahead.
I want to hear the community center.
The center is very important. The center is for educational purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need a structure in the community that can tell us what's going on with government. We teach them the basic education, and we can teach them small businesses. We can teach them trade. We can have this is a place that we have everyone register every kid that is in the community who's growing up, so that they don't get left out. We register them. We monitor them. The center is the place where we give out scholarships once we train the kids properly in art and craft, woodwork, tourism, product, et cetera, anything that deals with small business or create a great future for the kid or the teenager living in the community. That's why the center is so important.
I love this.
It's a base setup.
I love it. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. This is the foundation. Go ahead. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead. We lost the caller. Go ahead. Now, I want to talk to you about this, Richard, because I feel like both of your solutions sort of intertwine and being able to capture these from you. You talked about one of the first things that you came up with. Let's talk about this uplifting people. I've always been one of the persons that says that the former generation, our leaders, the architects of the country, was so consumed with building things. They got to build buildings. They got to build schools. They got to build this. They got to build that. They never even took into consideration that it'll come a time that you got to build people.
Yes.
And even right now, after all this crack epidemic, after all this substance abuse, after the segregation, the separation, this violence, this tyranny that has taken over our community, politicians are still talking about building things. So talk to me about this uplifting people concept.
Well, basically, for me, and my observation, that when it comes to the uplifting and building of people, I leave that mainly at the doorstep of the church, because the church used to be that crutch that bowled all of us, made me who the man I am today. And now when I reflect and I look back, the only thing that kept the communities together from back then and to now was the church. So the church has to now change its mantra of how they go about. It's not about collecting tithes or just feeding people or giving them. Make them feel a part of something. Get involved with them. Go meet them at their doorstep.
Go to their house.
Just like I said, you sit down with the small business in the communities. You all come up with ideas together like we used to in the days past, and create things that will make people feel a part of something. Not everybody's going to be a carpenter. Not everybody's going to be a doctor. And you have those same people in their community, like Scrooge said, with those community centers. They keep coming on a weekend at some time and sit down and say, you know what? I need 10 young fellas to come in, and I can teach you all how to do framing. Next crew coming, I teach you how to do drywall. All of these are little things that whereby that once you do that, you will have less young men or young women focusing on crime, because now they have some form of a trade. They have something that they can say, their skill, my skill, someone teach me this trade. So you feel good about yourself. And so where I've always told people is this. We rely so heavily on the politician to mold us.
They're killing us.
We don't need, they're only supposed to sit back and observe. If you have a critique, yes, but a good one.
But their agitation should have been, or should be, in the House of Assembly for legislation, for sort of the push for what the community desires.
Like local government is what we need. Local governments, what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
So tell me a little bit about the job training concept also.
Yes, all right. I see it in my community. We have mostly in the city, most of the senior men, they are carpenters, masons, mechanics. And you still see gentlemen at the age of 60 plus, 70, still doing this trade. And I was like, where are young people to replace the young technicians who's going to replace them? So we have to now sit down and galvanize that and say, listen, instead of you just sitting down on the ballpark and just playing ball or whatever, take 1 hour out of that session and come, let me show you someone.
Get some studies.
Someone teach you something to work with your hands. So you can develop your mind and your hand, because a lot of things happening in this town is that we keep neglecting that not everybody is going to be book smart. So we have to basically use, to build a nation, you need
everybody.
And that's the same thing with a village.
Yeah.
A village is only a small extension of a nation.
That's right. Yeah.
A nation is a society of many villages come together.
Yes.
And you can't do that if you just...
You want all one lopsided people.
No.
Yeah. Let me take a telephone call. Caller, you got 30 seconds with us. Forgive me. I know we kind of ran into the last minutes, but we got 30 seconds with us. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon, Howard. Good afternoon, Scores, and good afternoon to the guests.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, listen, you know, quickly, you talk about Coconut Grove. You know, just across the road from St. Cecilia, you know what's got the motorcycle shop? I was there yesterday to give us some business card, right, Scoozy?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of the young guys trying to learn the motorcycle, like, mechanic trade, so I agree with the gentleman. Now, Scoozy, like, what you talking about, your community center is off the chain, but you guys got it on the head, but one thing I was hoping, right, Howard, I would like to see in the inner city, because I went to school in Jamaica, and I saw this. Music, teaching the children.
Of course. That's a part of it. No, we have music. It's a part of it.
In the community center.
Yeah, we have a part of the community music.
I want my daughter to learn an instrument. I can't remember. Yeah, there's something that happened. But you have too much talent. I see in the inner city, going to race, even from track and field, right down to what you guys talking about.
Yes.
This is something to be some kind of conjunction, y'all. But bless them.
Yes. I like you, man. I appreciate the telephone call. I like that.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I came to Nassau. When I came to Nassau, and I got 28 seconds. When I came to Nassau, I drove my kids to all these areas, right? And I say, well, this is the community that I know. So we in the inner city, right? I said, the talent of any country exists in areas like this.
That's right.
I tell them that.
Yes.
I said, never despise these areas.
No. Never.
The talent of any country exists in areas like this, because on the outskirts, everybody won't be 007.
Yes.
But MacGyver
comes from Minnesota.
MacGyver.
Yeah, right there.
Who could make anything happen with
right
a chewing
in the
gum
community
and a wrapper and a band-aid and
give
a rubber.
Opportunity.
He could blow up things and do whatever he wants to do with his hands. And he come right from here.
Yes.
He says, never despise this. I ride to the area and show these things. And people need to know that the talent of our country exists in these areas. And the more time that we celebrate these people on television, we celebrate them and their athleticism, and we celebrate all the things that they've done over the years. Buddy Hield come from 8 Mile Rock.
Yes.
Shooting on a crate. On a crate.
Yes.
You understand? But, you know, it's my family from 8 Mile Rock.
He's a family now.
All right. Jazz Chisholm comes from the Grove.
Yeah.
So. You smoke.
And Donald Thompson, he came from 8 Mile Rock.
Well, Debbie Ferguson McKenzie, y'all do a show off. We get Debbie Ferguson McKenzie.
These people come from us.
And Ramon Miller come from Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. So
in college basketball,
listen now.
Everybody talks about the five slammer jammer. Linden Rose, Market Street, and Palm Tree Avenue.
All right, you
see,
that
this
one
is only a very clear example that these impoverished areas, these areas that have been neglected, these areas that have run wild with criminality
and crime, right programs
and all these things, with the right programs and the right hearts.
And the right hearts.
Right? The right people. Because you know you got some perverts.
Yes. That's why we have the village. That's why we have the village to keep an eye on them.
You got
to
do these things.
That's why we have the village.
These programs, with the right people in place, we could see the reformation
and change.
And not one politician. We need your help. You don't need none of these politicians' help.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Village again.
All we do is create the white paper, give it out to them, and say,
and
this
then
is
speak
the
legislation that we need to pass.
Need, and just keep
we
pushing.
We need speed bumps. We need the park fix. We need the lights
pushing.
Up.
Yeah. Keep pushing.
Yes.
If the politicians are smart, they would jump in because guess what? As soon as you devise and try to create this grouping, your politicians can come in from there.
Yeah.
And they carry your agenda to the House of Assembly.
That's right.
That's how it's supposed to be. That's how you got
to
do it.
And it makes their job
political
easier.
Political organizations should not bring to you, vote for this man.
Yeah. No.
You carry to them.
That's
or you carry to the community, this is who we're voting for.
That's right.
Guys, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I might as well tell you, this we're going to have a part two.
That's no problem.
The rhythm was off today,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a little off. Don't worry.
The rhythm was off today, and I want to say to you, we've made a commitment to do series of part two of this.
Yes.
All right? And hopefully we can get a sponsor to come in the inner city area, sit down with some people and interview them the same way that we're doing these things. Because we got to be able to hear from the young people also.
Yes.
What do you want? What do you see happening in here?
Yes.
Being able to move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the show for today. I thank you so much for being able to be a part of it. I'm hoping that for you that the rhythm wasn't off. I'm hoping that you can carry with you this idea of contribution and a very clear understanding that we have more to offer than just being able to speak to it. We have hands and feet to move towards it, to reform it. We have minds, this kind of an idea to change it. We have life and death in the power of our tongues. We need to be able to reform this and unify ourselves to see the change that we seek in this community. Be a part of the change, guys. I thank you so much for listening in today. Scrooge, I thank you.
Valentino Brown, Scrooge. My pleasure.
I thank you, my brother, for being able to take this time out and showing up for me, not just showing up for C.A. Nuri. Thank you for being decent, my brother. And I thank my good cousin, Richard Conway, for being able to be here with me.
Thanks, everybody.
Guys, know this. I'm going to be calling on you again. And I'd like to kind of break up the monotony of having all males in the studio. If you want to be a part of the conversation going forward, please give me a call, 827-0111. That's 827-0111 on the Help Me Howard line. This is The Foundation with Howard Grant right here on 96.9 FM radio. Stick and stay for Z Live with Shivago Lang right after this. Have a beautiful day, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Foundation. The Foundation.